fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our third hour on Wednesday, the 10th day of February. The prepper tip of the day, practice winter camping. I know many, maybe most of you have camped in the spring, summer, fall, but I'll tell you, camping in the middle of winter is a whole new experience, like you've never camped before. You need to learn how to do it so you can be safe and be comfortable. The only way to do that is by actually getting out there in the bush and being out there for a couple of nights, at least. We have Patient Wayne and Greener, my friend, Jeff Nyquist. Jeff has been working on understanding, comprehending, eventually becoming quite expert in anything and everything to do with the international communist conspiracy. He's written several books on that topic. He has an excellent website. He writes an article at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, you're overmodulating on my end, but good to have you with us. I understand you got about 2 feet of snow in your part of the world?
Or... Oh, well, it depends on... No, I think in the last 4 or 5 days we've gotten more like 4 feet.
Oh, my goodness. Well...
but we have lake effect here. Yeah.
Well, snow is snow, regardless if it's lake effect or not. I know people in my neighborhood would basically think it was the end of the world if they saw 2 feet plus of snow, let alone 4 feet. But God bless you folks who can tolerate that and live with it. Well, Jeff, the communists are in control of the White House. Wannabe make-believe President Biden is controlled by the communists. His vice president, who's not even qualified to be vice president because she's not a natural-born citizen, is a dyed-in-the-wool, full-fledged Marxist, from everything I can see. It looks like the prediction of Nikita Khrushchev 60 years ago or so has come to pass, hasn't it?
Yeah, well... We're not quite living under communism, but they're trying to get us into socialism.
Well, that's the next step before the final step, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can have communist rulers. I mean, what they did in South Africa, for example, you can have communist rulers who rule under a constitution for a while. They can maybe respect some of the laws, but eventually they're dragging you into socialism, as a preparation to bring about communism. Of course, there's no communist government or rulers that have actually established a true communist system, because it's kind of a system that's impossible. So you're never going to get there, but they're going to bring you into dictatorship, and they're going to take your rights away, and that's what they're going to do. And I think that's really what the point of the system is. I don't think the inventor of the system, Karl Marx, and then his chief followers, Lenin and Stalin, I think they fully understood that ultimately it was about power, and
Of course, it's about power. Of
that's
course.
really what it's about.
My knowledge is that there's about 20 families in China that one or two of them could have enough wealth to pay off the U.S. national debt. That they're behind the scenes. We never know who, we never hear about them, but they're the ones actually running the show, aren't they, sir?
Yeah, it's right. It's a dictatorship system. It's a collective leadership dictatorship.
Absolutely. Jeff, we got our first caller here. We got Deborah in Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I have a question for the doctor. I'll try to say this shortly. I grew up with, my parents were out of the Depression. They were a little bit older than some of my friends' parents. Dad, World War II. And my mother was very wise because she taught us what to watch out for regarding communism. And I always appreciated that because through my life I had to battle some of those areas. And I remember somebody called in one time about putting their kids in a university. Well, when I went to a university or a college, there was a lot of that in you through the professors about trying to push communistic values or existentialism and all this stuff. What I'm trying to say is, because my parents grounded me not only with God but foundational things growing up, I was able to battle those types of professors, because some of them would even threaten you on, if you believe the way you do, you'll get an F. And I'd say, well, we'll see about that, because it's based on what I perform. So, but it was a constant battle, and you couldn't be afraid to speak up for your values. And so what I'm seeing now is I try to instill that in my children to watch out for these things, although it's a little bit different. The kids just don't seem to have a lot of common sense or want to reason about things with those regards, or they don't understand the importance. And that's what bothers me the most, is that they've lost that foundational reasoning to come up against. You can't be afraid of these people, because you have to be able to stand for your value system. So anyway, how do we continue on what, like, parents like I had with informing their grandkids and children that it's still out there, and it's almost worse now because they've, in so much of our life right now, the communistic values.
Well, it's very important that young people read, because they don't have the life experience to teach them what is what. And the only way people without enough life experience can acquire the same thing is by reading of other people's experiences. So it's important for them to be exposed to things like stories of people who've lived in communist countries and suffered, what the communists have actually done in terms of killing large numbers of people. Get them to think about what that means, get them thinking, realizing that life is not just a Disneyland ride. I think the problem with growing up in a country where everything is so easily acquired, they forget what that life is really oftentimes a life and death struggle, and to realize that they have enemies and to be oriented towards those enemies and what their own country stands for. These are what young people lack. And, you know, reading and talking to older people too is good. Talking to older people from those countries is also good.
Well, what I found is, and this is because of cultural things that they instill in the children, is that old people don't know anything. Elderly people, you know, they're all have Alzheimer's. And I said, no, you need to listen to the elderly. They came out of something that you can learn from. You need, if they want to tell a story, you really need to listen, because that's what I was taught. Listen to your grandparents. Take time to sit with them and listen. Yes, we all have our issues as we get older, but they're very wise. And I think they don't even take the time to want to hear the story, to want to hear what great-grandpa went through. And in to some degree, that's very sad, because they can't take that forward through their life and live on that, because that's what was instilled in us. They need to take time and just listen to people who are very wise. They're not, just because they're sitting, grandpa's at the assisted living right now, he's very wise. You need to sit and listen. And I guess, unfortunately, they hear things from their life that elderly people, you just put them over here now, and you go on with your life, and it's not true.
Well, it sounds like they've been affected by the teaching of the schools. One of the things the communists want to do is alienate children from their elders, and that's important for winning them over to a new system of ideas. Because the elders carry the culture of the old America. And if they can successfully cut them off from their parents and grandparents, well, then they've won.
Yeah, that's true. Very sad, but it's true. And not all, I'm not saying everyone is like this. I'm just saying that you see more of it happening, I'll say, with 30 and up, you know, the 35 and up, I'll say 35 and down. I mean, 35 and up, 35 and down. So, yeah, I thank you for that, because for answering me on that. It's just something that's okay. Always bothered me.
Well, thank you, Deborah. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Okay, our next caller is Eric in New York. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks a lot. Great work, and I really enjoy this broadcast. I wanted to see if I could get Mr. Nyquist to back up a little farther in history to find the origins of communism. The way I read history, Marx was not the true founder of the communist precepts and concepts. To the way I see it, communism was really founded, I mean, in its conceptual form, in the year 1516 in a book by Sir Thomas More called Utopia. And you can look it up. If you look at the book Utopia, it was set on an imaginary island where everybody shared a common culture and a common way of life. And it really did lay out the foundations for modern-day communism, which was kind of, you know, put forth by Marx, Lenin, and Engels. But it was really set originally back in 1516 in Sir Thomas More's book Utopia. Sir Thomas More was eventually beheaded by King Henry VIII for not accepting him as the head of the Church of England, because Sir Thomas More was an agent of the Vatican.
Well, Sir Thomas More was not beheaded because he didn't accept Henry VIII as the King of England. It was because he had private doubts about the king divorcing his wife, who was a Spanish princess, to marry Anne Boleyn. And the king wanted him to say certain things publicly that he wouldn't say, so he beheaded him.
Right.
Thomas More, the idea all of England was Catholic before Henry VIII. Henry VIII started out as a Catholic. Henry VIII, because the Pope wouldn't grant him a divorce, brought England out of the Catholic Church. So that was how England left the Catholic Church, because Henry VIII wanted a new wife. But as far as communism, how far back you go, look, Sir Thomas More was not a communist in the sense that Karl Marx was. And right. You have to go back to Plato. Plato was a communist, basically, in some of his teachings. This idea is very old, but Karl Marx was not the inventor of that kind of communism. Karl Marx's philosophy, what we call modern communism, is dialectical materialism. It's not the same thing as Thomas More. It's not the same thing as Plato. Plato and Thomas More were not materialists. Dialectical materialism means dialectics is the method of thought, okay? And materialism is its ironclad outlook, world outlook. It means there is no God, okay? It means that they're totally atheistic. It means there's no spirituality. There's no spiritual things at all. That matter is primary and mind or spirit are epiphenomenal. There's a chemical reaction in your brain, and that everything in their philosophy of modern communism, invented by Karl Marx, follows from this. That is why they're the enemy of religion. Remember, Thomas More, though he wrote Utopia, was a religious man. He was a very religious man, okay? Plato was a teacher of spiritual doctrines, so he was not a disbeliever in God, so you know, the ancient Greek philosophers were also discussed the idea of monotheism, which had come from some of the early pre-Socratic thinkers. So they had this idea that maybe there was one God. Okay, they got this also. Plato went to Egypt and learned this from the Egyptian priests, because the esoteric Egyptian religion was very close to the Hebrew religion in that they believed in one God, if you read the Hermetic writings, okay? So the idea of monotheism has a very old tradition, even in the pagan world, okay? But this is not Karl Marx. Karl Marx is an atheist. He is teaching about a world in which people are raised without religious instruction at all, of any kind, pagan or Christian, Catholic or Protestant. So this is very important because of the way that modern communism destroys and levels cultures and eliminates ancient wisdom altogether from the teachings.
Excellent clarification. Yes, it would be the ultimate manifestation of the deterioration into, you know, the worst part of kind of communism. Yeah, that's a great response and a great clarification. I thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Eric. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, we have an update from tomorrow, a man calling from the future, because in New Zealand it is Thursday, and we have Alex in New Zealand. Good afternoon, Alex, in New Zealand.
Morning.
Is it afternoon? Go ahead.
It's morning. I've got one to two things for you to comment on. The first thing is, during the week, I was talking with a group of Hong Kong people who live in the United Kingdom. They have formed a group called the Hong Kong Independence Party, which has been taking the British government to court over the Sino-Joint British Declaration, and they have been fighting the British government for years to get the Sino-Joint British Declaration repealed because the Chinese Communist government has been breaching the treaty. And when they were talking on the subject of Nathan Law, they actually saw Nathan Law as an agent for the Chinese Communist Party. When I asked them why on the reason, they were saying Nathan Law was actually...
Hold that thought, Alex. Hold that thought. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th of February. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. Get it now. Better to be a year too soon than a moment too late. Get a $50 discount when you get your EMP Shield device for your car, your home, your generator at my website at thelibertyman.com. Dealing with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, and we've got Alex from New Zealand giving us an update. Continue, Alex, please.
Okay, I'm not sure if Jeff would like to respond to, is about the Hong Kong Independence Party, which is founded by Hong Kong expatriates living in England who have been fighting the British government for years in the UK to rescind or repeal the Sino-Joint British Declaration. And they see Nathan Law, who recently went to England, as an agent because he defends the Chinese Communist Party sovereignty in Hong Kong. I'm not sure if Jeff would like to comment on that.
Yeah, of course, England is not the British Empire anymore. They don't have the strength their navy's tiny. Their navy's smaller than the French navy now. They don't really have the ability to maintain Hong Kong, and the liberal ideology that has prevailed in most of the West wouldn't really tolerate them keeping it. We've developed ourselves an anti-colonialist mentality that would see Hong Kong as not ideally belonging to the United Kingdom. So I'm not sure. It's interesting that they're doing that. I'm not sure it's practical. And I don't know what England could do to resist China. Basically what the Chinese told the British back in 97 was that, you know, we can just take Hong Kong. We don't have to respect any treaty, but we'll sign a treaty with you. So the British, it was almost like they were offered a face-saving measure. I'm not sure that the Chinese would have actually committed an act of military aggression. It would have been interesting to see if they could have gotten away with it over the years. Now they're committing it, certainly, and violating the treaty. So, but the world doesn't seem to be punishing China for it. They released a virus, and they don't seem to be punished for it. And now we know it was made in a lab. We know they lied about its origins, but nobody's punishing them for that.
The second thing I got for Jeff is, I'm not sure if he would like to comment on, today the Chinese Communist Party announced exit ban in the form of they won't recognize dual citizenship for Hong Kong people, and they're now telling Hong Kong people if they take British citizenship or even US or New Zealand citizenship, they must renounce the Chinese citizenship, and this is now causing problems for Hong Kong expatriates living overseas because they have relatives living in Hong Kong, and many people in the Hong Kong expatriate community are getting concerned about this, and some of the and they have actually relatives living in Hong Kong who want to leave as well. And I'm not sure if Jeff would like to comment on it.
Well, that's a very interesting development. It seems to me that people like, you've mentioned Nathan Law and some of these Chinese dissidents who are really under control of the Chinese government have wanted to get large numbers of Hong Kong people, of Chinese people, into America, into New Zealand, into Australia, into the UK, into different English-speaking countries. That always struck me as suspicious. Why do they want to open the floodgates for massive immigration? And of course, this declaration from the Chinese government that they could actually choose. I mean, this is very strange. The Chinese government saying these people could declare themselves to be American or British or New Zealanders, then what would happen? We would have to take them then? And how many of those people would be agents of the communist Chinese government? That's interesting to me. It occurs to me they're trying to bring large numbers of infiltrators into Western countries. That's what that sounds like to me.
Okay. Anything else, Alex?
The third and final thing I got for Jeff is on the grand solar minimum. I think during the end of February, the end of January, the People's Daily, a newspaper in China, in Heilongjiang, the People's Daily newspaper actually admitted Heilongjiang reported a temperature drop, which is unheard of minus 48 degrees. I'm not sure if Jeff would like to comment on it.
Well, we'll get his comment after the break about the 48-degree temperature drop. Alex, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the army of Santa Anna.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th of February. My website is thelibertyman.com. Great news for people who didn't hear it earlier. My webmaster, Tim Spencer, is home from the VA hospital in Columbia, Missouri. On his way home yesterday, he said, John, the prayers worked. I asked 50,000 people yesterday to pray for Tim Spencer. They did, and he was rapidly recovering. And he'll be back in the saddle as my webmaster beginning today. Also, my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll find energy clinics for sale. We're getting caught up this week. 300% increase in demand this past 12 months. So it's good to be getting caught up, and look forward to taking your orders and getting these mattress pads and energy cleaners out the door. Toll-free online for the energy cleaner and the mattress pads to go with it. Here it is, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog, jrnyquist.blog. His books are for sale at amazon.com. And you need to check out his books. And his current article has to do with what went on in Spain between World War One and World War Two. Very important historical article there. Jeff, it looks like you got an answer for Alex here on the temperature drop. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, minus 48 degrees. I mean, if you're familiar with the writings of the Arctic and Antarctic explorers, those are very severe Antarctic level temperatures. Coming down into northern China, that is an indication that this grand solar minimum is a reality. There's no doubt that these are not normal temperatures. Here in the upper Midwest, we're having a drier, warmer winter than normal. And I think there's some kind of dynamic where on the side of the world of Asia, all the really cold Arctic air is being drawn down into China, and we're getting warmer air from the south. We have been, especially January was unusually warm. But I think that this grand solar minimum seems to be advancing. I don't know if Alex knows, what is the latest on the sunspot activity? Is the sun proceeding along with this grand solar minimum course?
Even Alex? The sunspot count, from what I've been told by the people in the grand solar minimum community, the sunspot count has been pretty low.
So it isn't, the sun isn't coming back as some people have hoped.
No, the sun isn't coming back, no.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if this continues through this decade and the sun does not come back, its electromagnetic field doesn't come back, this weather is going to become common throughout the northern latitudes in, you know, China, United States, Europe. It could get quite bad. We've been through these before, many ice ages even possible if this goes on long enough.
Okay. Alex, thank you as always.
That's all I have, John, and I would like to thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you very much. Our next caller is Dave in New York, in Texas. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great news about Tim. I'm glad that it worked. About the sun, if people want an update on what's going on with sunspot activity, Suspicious Observers, YouTube channel is really good for that. The cycle started off with a pretty good amount of sunspot activity, but in the last week or so, it's dropped off quite a bit. That's what I just picked up watching a couple of the videos the other day. I do have a question, though. There's a lot of commentators that are claiming that in the McCarthy era, 50s, that there was something codified into military law, I guess, that requires or changes the way the Pentagon responds to threats, communist threats, and increased their duties as far as preventing communist takeover of the country, and that there was an actual law that was put into the whatever the Pentagon code is that they have to follow. Have you guys heard anything about that? Is that true, or is that just BS?
Well, there were a lot of laws in the 1950s. I mean, you had the McCarran Internal Security Act of 1950, also known as the Subversion Activities Control Act of 1950. It was named for its primary sponsor, Senator Pat McCarran. When they discovered that the U.S. government was penetrated, and that, you know, basically that those penetrations very likely caused China to become communist and lost us Eastern Europe, they became very concerned. And you had the Army-McCarthy hearings later after 1950, where McCarthy kind of got shot down. But I don't know where those laws stand now. I know that after the fall of the Soviet Union, some of the aspects, laws that were passed that were sort of helping that one were repealed. Like a lot of the, it used to be in the University of California, you had to swear an oath of allegiance if you were going to teach to the Constitution of California and the United States. My understanding is they got rid of those laws, that they repealed them. That was very stupid because communism didn't really go away. As far as the actual provisions of the McCarran Act, I'm not remembering all of them, and I'm not remembering what parallel laws they passed for the Army. But my guess is they're still on the books. I don't think they've repealed the McCarran Act, but people can check and see. Maybe they have. I don't know. I know that some of those things have been repealed.
John, I'm sure you probably have heard similar things from commentators about, the duties of the military in preventing a Manchurian candidate kind of thing, and people are thumping their chests about this being the reason why the military is being kind of quiet and they're actually in control. Have you heard anything about this so-called change in, well, it's not a change, I mean, if it's 1950s, it's been here for a while. I mean, does this exist? Is there a requirement other than their constitutional requirement, their oath?
Well, that's a big other than. That's the basis of all service people, is their oath to the Constitution. As to what's going on, lots of speculation. I've seen no evidence that I would consider clear and convincing that the military is doing anything. And of course, if they are, it should be highly kept secret, and people like myself would know about it. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's right. The people that know aren't talking, and the people that are talking don't know.
Good point. Good point.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Dave. Lots of speculation and very little evidence. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's true. The thing is, we can have plenty of laws, but if they're not observed, they won't matter. So I think there's a lot of laws in this country that are just simply ignored.
Obviously. Well, Jeff, I was reading your article about the what took place in Spain between World War I and World War II. It was a communist coup, basically, that took over the country, and it led to a lot of property damage and death and misery, didn't it, sir?
Yeah, you could say that there was a sort of a cultural transformation in Spain. They had, from 1923 to 1930, they had a Primo de Rivera was a military dictator. They didn't know in Spain, Spain had five civil wars in the 19th century between liberal monarchists and conservative monarchists. But when socialists came along, they didn't quite know what to do. And it came out of the university system. It came out of the new thinking. And this dictator was going to, make it all go away and make everybody loyal to Spain. Well, it didn't work. And so when Primo de Rivera left the country and went to Paris to die, democratic democracy, and there was one event after another. They had the equivalent of BLM and Antifa rioting, burning, looting, robbing banks, even murdering priests and nuns. They were sort of starting a reign of terror, and eventually that reign of terror led to a murder of a conservative politician, and the right became enraged, and it was a catalyst to civil war, to a military insurrection. In which the Spanish military split basically in half, and they fought a three-year civil, bloody civil war between the left and the right in Spain.
Amazing. Okay, let's see where we are here. Well, let's go ahead and continue, Jeff.
But the Spanish Civil War is remarkable for how similar the run-up to it is to what we're experiencing now. The rioting that we had last summer is very similar, almost identical to what went on in Spain before the Civil War. And they started out with a left-of-center government, which was pretty dedicated to the far left, even though they were mostly center-leftists. Then there was an election in 1931 where the conservatives won. But the conservatives, the largest conservative party, which was the Catholic Party, also known as the Party of the Autonomous Right, they were blocked from participating in the government, which was outrageous. There was a strong anti-Catholic bent to the socialists, and they wanted to make ex post facto rules that would prevent the right from taking power. A lot of these kind of unfair things were, which we see now in our system, were going on. And you could say that the 2 years of the right of center governments in Spain from 1933 to 1935 was basically, you could call it like Trump's administration. They were not able to be fully effective. They tried to govern reasonably while the left was rioting. Every time, like, for example, at one point, they allowed three Catholic Party ministers. And that was the October 4th, 1934 riots that were extremely damaging. 1,500 people were killed. They burned churches. There was massive violence. And everybody was intimidated by this. Nobody wanted to say it was wrong because they were justified by the fact that they claimed the Catholics were fascists. They were followers of Hitler. That's what they claimed. It was not true. We're familiar with those kind of allegations. Today they say you're a racist or a white supremacist if you're a conservative. So what ended up happening was it ended up being with a left-of-center government appointed, just appointed despite the majority of the right. They ended up with elections in 1935, and very much like our elections last November, they were frauded. The 1936 February election was frauded. What happened in the election was that the balloting started normally, but then towards evening, massive crowds throughout the country started to gather of leftists. They started looting and destroying conservative ballots. They started re-voting in certain areas and excluding the conservatives from voting. This went on for 3 days. And, you know, in an election which was thought to have been marginally won by the right, the left ended up with 60% of the seats in the parliament. And it was pretty outrageous what happened. And, of course, just like in our country, the reaction, the right seemed completely impotent. They couldn't really do anything. Many right-wing officials fled or went into hiding or were just simply beat up or intimidated. Some were killed in the violence. So it really looked like the communists were going to take over. And, of course, it was the left. The government was always saying how it was center left, but they were really kind of following the far left, and they were determined to establish socialism in the country. So what happened after the election is they started just seizing the property of farms, farmer property, independent farmers. They started taking their land and redistributing it, and then sometimes the court would say no, but a lot of times the court would affirm the taking of the property. So there was a spoliation going on. People were being, you know, unlawfully, they were just having their property taken from them. And even then, nothing happened. Well, what finally happened was a politician, Calvo Sotelo, was murdered. The bodyguard of the head of the Socialist Party showed up at the guy's house dressed as policemen. taking him into custody. Of course, they took him out and they put two bullets in him and left his body in a police van. And this seemed to be the catalyst for civil war, because the military, the conservatives in the military, who had been basically pushed out of their positions, Franco was considered the leading general who was conservative. He was sent to the Canary Islands where he could do no harm. The military basically had these plans, but they couldn't implement because most officers didn't want to lose their pensions.
Hold that thought. We got a couple of calls on hold. We'll get back to them after the break. Hold on, please.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th of February, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Jeff, we've got a couple of callers here. We'll see if we can get them in. First is Tom in Florida. Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, good morning, John and Jeff. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, first off, Jeff, you know, in Cuba, Fidel Castro and his family, they own like 48 mansions. So they say they're communists, but they have 48 mansions. They pillaged the whole place after the revolution in Cuba. And the family has millions of dollars. The son, Fidelito, killed himself. He did go to Spain to try to buy millions of dollars in Rolex watches, and they caught him at the Spanish airport, I believe it was, trying to go back to Cuba so he could give all his family members Rolexes. That was years ago. He ended up killing himself. But the communists in Cuba, 90% of the Cubans in the island of Cuba, Jeff, they don't own a hot water heater. They don't own a car. They don't own nothing. It's like these Central Americans coming in from Honduras and all these Central American countries. They're coming to the United States. None of them ever owned a car, never had a hot water heater. So they are coming here to take over the white males and females of this country. They're not coming here. They're not going to South America where they already speak Spanish. They're coming here to North America where it's an English-speaking predominantly country. But pretty soon we're going to be balkanized to the point we will end up like Bosnia-Herzegovina. That's what's going to happen here. Our country's going to splinter into sectors.
Okay. And, well, Tom, let's give Jeff some response.
Yeah. Well, can I say one more thing? I just want to tell one more.
Make it quick. Yeah, okay. Make it quick, Tom.
Yeah, I just want to say that you're talking about the Chinese. Well, look what the Wuhan flu had did to this country because it took Trump out of power. In 1968, they brought us the Hong Kong flu. These Chinese are wicked as wicked can get, and they are building robots like crazy over there. Let's kid ourselves. They're going to have not only a multi-million army, they're going to have multiple millions of robots on the battlefield. So that's what their notice is. They don't care if they lose half their population. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Any response there, Jeff, to Tom's comments?
People often have this misconception that communism is egalitarianism because they hear egalitarianism from the left. But there's nothing, if you read Soviet communist literature, they're very explicit in saying they don't believe in equality for everybody.
That's right. Absolutely. Our last caller is John in Texas. We've got about 60 seconds here, John.
I understand you call communism a cult. Is the way they recruit and make new recruits and indoctrinate them in any way similar to the way religious cults like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or Hare Krishnas, or People's Temple, or any of those other cults have in the past? Do they recruit and indoctrinate new members?
Well, yeah, they orient new members like any, you know, political organizations and cults and religions have orientation, and they have teachings that they give their people. So, yeah, the communists do. They have teachings, and they also have teachings that they tell their higher-ups and teachings that they study for the people lower down. So it's not all the same.
Okay, John, thank you. Jeff, thank you. We'll have you back next week. We're going to be with Roundtable beginning Tuesday morning.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's it for the day. Get medical supplies, energy, cleaners, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever give up your guns. Please do a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.